Good morning, everyone. Happy Chinese New Year. Why don't we all stand up, actually? As we enter into a time of worship, something I find challenging always is it's just kind of reset the mind, right? As we come into this place, as we try to lay all the things on our mind at the feet of Jesus and really try to focus on this time, this privilege of being able to worship in freedom and to worship such an amazing God. And so something I want everyone here to just meditate on and to think about is what is the posture that we have coming into this place? Whether it is a time in our lives where there's a lot of change happening, a lot of decisions to be made, a time where we may need to be learning to trust more in Him, learning to put our faith in what is the next step in our lives, whether that's as a student, as changes in our work, or it's a season of Thanksgiving. So I want us all to take a moment to just think about that and how we can come before God in the posture that we have. This is your time to meet with God. And so why don't we just take a second or two and meditate on that, and then we'll enter into this time of worship.
Carried a burden for too long on my own, and I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh.
You saw
my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have the context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley, and yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things working all things out. Oh yes, I'll lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. But nothing can stand against.
Yes, I will.
Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Joy when my heart is set free all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. For all my days. Oh yes, I will. For all my days. Oh yes, I will. Yeah.
the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after us.
The last song we're singing is a new song. It's by Chris Tomlin. It's called Holy Forever. And we'll try to sing the chorus. And we'll sing it a few times and we'll get into it. So it goes like this. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cry. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. All your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever.
Let's try that again. All the angels.
All the angels cry.
All who will believe to sing the song.
name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all.
Time worship, you may be seated.
All right. So I just want to take the next portion of time here just for us to kind of know what God is doing in our church and to also stay informed as to, you know, different ways perhaps that we can also serve and different opportunities for us to keep growing as Christ followers. And so first of all, I guess last night we had our Chinese New Year celebration. So thanks to everyone and anyone who's served in that and helped out or even attended. And You know, I was there yesterday more so with the high school fellowship, but just seeing the celebration, seeing, you know, all four congregations there together, it was really something special and something great. So, yeah, just very, yeah, it's great to see how God has kind of united all of us here in this church. Secondly, I guess this applies to a lot of us. I guess Sunday school has actually started for EMC. And I didn't know this was happening. I thought, oh, I'm announcing it today, so it didn't start yet. But it actually started this morning. So definitely look forward to seeing a lot of you there next week. But it's about practice his presence and looking for ways, I guess, to encounter God more intimately and exploring biblical foundations of sacred habits and ways to kind of approach these spiritual disciplines. So it's every Sunday, 9:30 a.m., and room 139, so just off to my right over there in that side of the church. So yeah, hope to see all of you guys there. And there's lots of snacks. I was told to let you guys know that as well, so definitely come out. And then next week, there will be youth worship, so let the youth in your life know. It'll be 11:15, again, next Sunday, January 29th, and it's going to be in the youth room, which is in the mobile classrooms outside. And then lastly, we are looking for VBS committee members. So VBS, Vacation Bible School, is a great program we have every summer and a great way for us to kind of reach the children, but also kind of reach their friends and their families as well through it. So there's lots of positions available. I think they're starting to plan about kind of on a month, like once a month basis for the time being. So if this is something that you're interested in and you'd like to help out, definitely contact Pastor Phoebe. Her email's in the bulletin, but it's very easy. Just phoebe.chan@ecac.ca. Yeah, so also just want to take this time to remind everyone as well about different ways to give. I guess we don't pass along the bags anymore, but there's a box outside, and in front of you there are envelopes if that works better for you. If not, lots of other ways, e-transfer or otherwise. But yeah, we just want to be able to, I guess, give you know, what God has given us, and to be good stewards of the resources that we have. And so I just want to take the time now, and just let's pray for the offering. Let's also just pray for Pastor Tim as he comes up as well. So if you can join me in prayer. Yeah, Heavenly Father God, just thank you for everything that that you've given us, God, individually and as a church. Just thank you for the different ministries, just the different events, God. Just thank you for you know, leading us, guiding us, and loving us, God. And we also pray that we can just give you know, a portion back of ourselves, whether money, time, resources, our talents, skills, God. We just pray that we can ultimately have humble hearts to be able to serve you with what we have, and we trust, God, that you'll use that for your kingdom and for your glory. So we just pray for our offering today, and as well pray for Pastor Tim as he comes and shares your word with us, God. May just stir in us, in our souls. May your word speak into our lives, and just use him to just powerfully preach today, God. So we just pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, David, and good morning, church. Happy New Year, too. Last night was so fun for all of you that came out. It was amazing. I loved all of it. It was so hectic and great and fun, and I learned so much. It was great. So if we haven't met, my name's Tim. I'm one of the English pastors here at ECAC, and yeah, I'm so excited to have you all here this morning. And I want to start off by talking about a misconception. Talking about a misconception, I think that a lot of people that are outside of the church have about Christianity, and that's that Christianity is just a group of people that follow a book of rules. Have you ever heard that? Or maybe you're sitting here, you're like, that's what I believe right now, you know? I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have, is like, oh, those are the people that just follow that book of rules. And I'm glad that people at least see that we're trying to live a different life, right? We're trying to, you know, live differently in some way. But really, the story of Christianity is so much richer than that. We're not just a people that we try to follow a book of rules because it seems like the right thing to do, but we who follow Christ, we are a people who have been transformed. We're a people who, we don't just do these things because it seems like the right thing to do, but we do these things because we have encountered the living God. We don't just do good things to get into heaven, but we've encountered God, and the kingdom of heaven is in us. And that's what transforms the way we live, the way that we conduct ourselves. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at here today, is this transformation of why we do good things, of what it means to live that transformed or that redeemed life. So I'm really excited for this here today. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Brandon started us off on our new sermon series, and this is a series on the book of Colossians. And this is a letter in the New Testament, and it's a book that I've always loved. I think it's such a beautiful book that teaches us about so many different things. So you'll probably, hopefully you'll remember from September to December, if you were with us, we've been preaching through missions. We've been preaching on what missions looks like, why we have to be on missions, what it means for us. And we almost want to pause, like obviously we're still on mission, but we want to pause and remember why. Why are we on mission? Why do we live this different life? Why are we going out and telling people the good news of Jesus? And of course, it's all centered around Jesus. So that's why we're so excited about this sermon series through the book of Colossians. And we're going to be going through this up until Easter. And it's our hope that through this series that you will encounter Jesus. This book's about so many different things. It teaches on so many things. And ultimately, it re-centers our focus on Jesus. There's so many beautiful teachings on Jesus, on who he is and how he changes everything in our life. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Next week, Pastor Brandon's preaching on one of the most important passages in the whole Bible. And I'm so jealous I'm not preaching it. So make sure you come out to that. And we're really excited. So I challenge you, and it's my prayer for you, that throughout this series in the book of Colossians, that you will encounter Jesus. I challenge you maybe even to be surprised by who Jesus is. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but I encourage you to be open and listening to who he is and to grow closer to him. So that's my prayer for us this series. So let's jump into it. So the book of Colossians, as I mentioned, it's a letter. And it's a letter written by this guy who wrote a lot of the New Testament. His name is Paul. He was an apostle. And the apostle Paul wrote to this church. He didn't know this church super well. Like some of his letters, he knew the church very well. He had a good relationship with them. But this church, he didn't know as well. And while he wrote this letter, he was actually in prison. He was in prison a lot, not because he was a bad guy, but because he preached the gospel. They didn't like that. So they'd throw him in prison. And while he was in prison, the pastor of this church in the city of Colossae came to him. His name was Epaphras. And he came to Paul and kind of gave him a report. He said, look, my church, they're doing awesome. They're following Jesus. They're excited to follow Jesus. But they have pressures on them. They have pressures maybe to turn away from Jesus. They have pressures to grow complacent, pressures to wander like we talked about 2 weeks ago. So this church is doing really good. They're still a young church. They're excited about that. But Paul is aware that there are these pressures on them that aren't making life very easy. That he knows that the people in that day, they wouldn't have understood why they were Christians. They would have kind of like not liked that, because a lot of people in that day, they would have worshipped so many gods. And it was basically just a checklist for them so that bad things didn't happen. That's kind of how they saw worship. So then they'd see Christians, they'd be like, why are you only serving one God? What if you make the rest angry? And then if something bad happened, they would blame the Christians. And it was this whole mess. It caused a lot of blame and division. And we're going to kind of look at some of the solutions for that in this passage. But that's kind of the state that this church in Colossae was in. They weren't in the easiest place. So Paul is writing to them about what he's heard from their pastor Epaphras. What he's heard from him, all the good things, he's encouraging them, and he's also addressing some of the issues that they're going through. So that's what's going on in the book of Colossians. So let's read our passage here today. It's Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the word of the Lord. So we'll kind of go through this verse by verse. That's how it makes the most sense. And Paul starts off by saying, wow, I've heard so much about you from your pastor, and I've been praying for you. I haven't stopped. He says we, because he's probably talking about him and his coworker Timothy. We haven't stopped praying for you. He's encouraging them. He's saying, yeah, I've heard you've been following Jesus. I'm excited about that. I'm praying for you. I'm supporting you in this way. And he says specifically that he's praying that they would have this knowledge of God's will, this understanding. That's how he starts off this prayer. And a lot of this kind of is a prayer that Paul has for the Colossians. So he's praying that they would have a knowledge of his will. And really what he means there, because when we think of God's will, usually we think like, it was God's will for me to come to church today, something like that. But he kind of means it more generally, like knowing God in a sense, knowing God's movement, knowing how God works, who God is. That's kind of what he's talking about when he's talking about an understanding and a knowledge of God, that they would know God. And of course, that's our prayer for ourselves, right? I hope that we can know God better, that we can step into that relationship with him, that we can be in step with God and with his work. So that's kind of what Paul is talking about here, praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God. But why? Because, like, he doesn't just want them to be full of head knowledge, right? That's not his goal here. Like, I like to read books. Does anyone else? Anyone else is like a book person? Literally nobody. Okay, we have some hope. Phew. And like sometimes, because I obviously read like a lot of like Christian books, stuff like that. And sometimes I read one and I'm like, I literally just read that for the sake of reading it. Like, it didn't affect me. It didn't help me. Like, and that's kind of what Paul's talking about here. He's praying, would you have knowledge of God? Would you understand him, his ways, who he is? But don't stop there, because he keeps praying. And he says that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So Paul doesn't just want them to know about God, but he wants them to encounter God in a way that changes how they live their life. Paul is praying that they would encounter God so that they are actually transformed, and that they will then live out a life that is pleasing to God. So that's what he's getting into. And then he gets into a really practical part where he actually lists four things that are part of this thing that's pleasing to God, of a life that's pleasing to God. He lists four things. So this is really practical for us today. A lot of it can apply to us today, that God actually reveals what is pleasing to him, and we can know that. So we're going to kind of go through these four things that, these four things that Paul lists of a life that is pleasing to God, so we can work through that. So the very first one, and you can follow along in your Bible if you want, he says, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. So what does that mean? That literally means how we conduct our lives. Right, that makes sense. Like doing good work, like works of charity, loving your neighbor, helping the poor, the sick, that kind of stuff. Like bearing good fruit, the way we actually live our life in our action, that is pleasing to God, that we do these good things, that we love those around us. So that's the first thing that Paul lists, doing these good works. And then the second thing here on our list of four, these four things that Paul lists, and again, I don't think this is like an exhaustive list. I don't think this is everything, but these are four things that Paul is listing that I think we can learn from. And he says this, growing in the knowledge of God. So he talks about growing. And this is connected to the last one, if you see, it's the same sentence. And they're very connected. So he's saying, as you serve God, as you bear fruit, as you live this life with a servant heart, you will grow to know God more. It's connected. And then you'll see this cycle up here, because let's remember, what was the very first thing that Paul prayed? That they would know the will of God, right? That they would know God. And then he says, if you know God, you'll be transformed, so you'll live a life that bears good fruit. But then here in our second point, he's saying, when you live a life that bears good fruit, what's going to happen? You're going to grow in knowing God. It's this cycle. It's a continuous cycle, this spiral where we know God and that changes us. And the more we're transformed, the more we live a life that pleases him. And the more that we do that, then the more that we know God. It's this continuous cycle in our life that Paul is showing us. And I think that's an amazing thing that we can learn from here today, this cycle of growing in the knowledge of God and living a transformed life. So the first two points, he says that we would have good fruit and that we would grow, right? So those are two words, because we need to pause here for a second. We'll do this throughout the letter, because we have to remember it's a letter to specific people and stuff like that. So let's pause, and we're going to look back a few verses at what we looked at 2 weeks ago when Pastor Brandon was teaching. And I have the verse up here, verse 6. Because remember, our first two points and where we're looking at today is fruit and growing. But in verse 6, this is what Paul says. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. You see that? That's not an accident. Like, let's not call that an accident. Paul's actually trying to tell us something here. Something's happening, because a few verses ago, he uses the same two words. And in verse 6, he's talking about the gospel. But in our passage, he's talking about the Christian life. So what's going on here? Why is Paul doing that? Like that, he was trying to tell us something here. And I think what Paul is trying to tell us here is that we, as Christians, are living this transformed life by the gospel. You see, the gospel, it bears fruit and it grows, then so do we, because we are transformed by the gospel. The gospel is doing a work in us and it's doing a work through us. Paul is really drawing our eyes to the fact that through the gospel, through the work of Jesus, we who follow him are a new creation. We've been made new, and that's why we live this life that is pleasing to God. He's actually kind of drawing our eyes back to Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, that we are a new creation. We are made new, and that changes everything. So when the gospel bears fruit, we bear fruit. When the gospel grows, we grow. And the gospel works in us, recreating us, and it works through us. As God invites us into his work, as God invites us into this good life where we please him, where we grow closer and closer to him. So the gospel is changing us. I think that's an important thing to pick up. So those are our first two points. So our third point here, I'll read the verse. It says, being strengthened with all power, catch this, this is hilarious, I think. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That's pretty, like, powerful language, right? Strengthened with all power? Like, God is the most powerful. What does that mean? Like, are we going to be, like, really, like, powerful and strong when we follow Jesus? Is that what, like, what's going on? And then you keep reading, and it says, so that you may have endurance and patience. That's disappointing, right? Just kidding. Endurance and patience, that's what we get strength for? Like, it's not to be strong. It's so that we can have endurance and patience. So let's remember, this is a letter to a different group of people, a different part of the world, long time ago. So let's remember, why is he praying that they would have endurance and patience? And we remember, right, the context, that they would have had these pressures on them. That they would have had pressures to turn away from Jesus, from those around them, pressures to grow complacent in their faith. And here Paul is saying that they will have an endurance. He's praying that they will have an endurance in this transformed life that will allow them to keep following Jesus. And in our culture, like, we can't fully relate to that, right? We do have different circumstances. But in many ways, it's still not always the easiest following Jesus. It's a great joy, but sometimes it does feel like an uphill battle of sorts. And I think we can pray this over one another, that we would have this great endurance from God to keep following him no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. And then Paul goes on to talk about patience. And I think it's connected to endurance when we're thinking about the people in Colossae. So think about it. Obviously, it would have been their neighbors, maybe like their family, their friends, who were like, why are you following Jesus? What are you doing? Like, they wouldn't have been happy. And Paul is praying this, that they wouldn't fight with those people, that they wouldn't have good arguments against those people, that they wouldn't cut those people out, but that they would have this divine patience with those people. A divine patience with those people. And maybe we have people, maybe not exactly like that, but people that kind of question, why do you go to church? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you spend so much time at your church? Like, stuff like that. Or maybe just people that you struggle with. How can you have this divine patience? We can think about that. So the fourth thing on this list is thankfulness. And this one frustrated me a little bit because as a pastor, you're always trying to find patterns. And I was like, fruit growing, strengthened. I could almost make it a plant metaphor. And then it's thankfulness. I couldn't do it. It was so sad. But thankfulness, that's how Paul ends off this list. And it's really fitting, actually. He says this in the passage, giving joyful thanks to the Father. You see, this list, we've read, like, what are some things that mark a life that is pleasing to God? And when we read this list, like, I hope you don't see this as, like, a burden. I hope you don't see this as a list of chores. Because that's not what this is. This is a welcome and a joyful transformation. It's not just us trying to please God because it's the list of things to do, but it's, wow, I have encountered the living God, and that changes everything. That changes how I live my life. That changes how I see the world. It changes absolutely everything. And it's so important for us to be thankful as Christians. I really think that that's a mark of following Jesus, is thanksgiving, is being thankful. Is actually pausing throughout our day, even if your circumstances aren't always great, and thanking God for what he's done, thanking God for who he is and for his goodness. But that really brings us into the last part of the passage really well here. Because really, like, what is the reason for all of what we just went through? Like, what's the reason for our thankfulness? What's the reason that we live this life of those four things, that we do good things, that we bear fruit, that we grow? Like, why? Like, what's the reason? Why are we on mission? Why are we doing all of this? And Paul, he really grounds us with the reason in these last few verses. So I'll just read these for us. It says this, "The Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That is a beautiful passage. We who follow Jesus, we are redeemed. That's the reason. That's the reason that we do all these things. That's the reason that we live this different life that might look different from your neighbors or your family members. That's why. It's not because we want to follow this list, but it's because Jesus has moved us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. But here again, let's pause and let's remember that this letter, it wasn't written specifically to us, right? This was written in a different part of the world a long time ago to a specific church. And when Paul writes this, he's actually trying to create a bit of an illustration for the people. And the original readers, they would have gotten a picture in their head when they read this passage, and we don't get it because it doesn't really translate as well for us. But the picture that Paul is illustrating here, when he talks about like redemption and kingdom, and the NIV doesn't catch it quite as well, but some translations say purchased our freedom, stuff like that. The picture that he's painting for us is an unfortunate one, but it's one basically of a marketplace, and we can think of it as a marketplace for slavery, basically. That's the picture that Paul is painting here. We don't pick it up, But the original readers would have seen that through the language of like purchase our freedom, stuff like that. So the illustration he's painting is that humans, we are slaves to darkness and sin. Right? Dominion of darkness. Like, we are a slave to that, and we are stuck. And the illustration here is that Jesus comes and he pays the price for your freedom. That's the illustration that Paul paints when he talks about redemption, that Jesus pays the ransom. Jesus pays the price, and he doesn't pay money, but he pays with his life. Right? When Jesus dies, he frees us. That's the picture Paul is painting. I remember earlier he kind of like was talking about we're a new creation, and he's alluding to Genesis. And here, if you're familiar with the book of Exodus, it's kind of like that. Like, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they were slaves to that darkness, but they were set free, right? And that's kind of this picture that Paul is painting for us, and it's this beautiful picture in many ways of seeing Jesus giving up himself for our freedom so that you are no longer a slave to sin or darkness, but you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed, and that is the reason. That is why we live this transformed life, this redeemed life. That is why we're a little bit different. That is why we're changed, because this changes everything. We have been redeemed, and we live in this kingdom of light. And Paul closes us off here by talking about forgiveness of sin. And we know that. We know Jesus, he forgave our sin. But I was reflecting on, I think, something we don't always talk about too much in the church, is the idea of actually accepting the forgiveness of Jesus. Actually inviting the forgiveness of Jesus. Like, not just saying, Jesus, please forgive me, I've sinned, but saying, Jesus, I accept and I invite your redemption, your forgiveness, and your light into my life. And as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking it actually might be difficult for some of us to do this. Like, even in my own life, sometimes I find it's almost hard to actually sit in the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. When we do that, like, we don't stay the same. When we encounter his grace, it really changes us. It transforms us. When we step into this redemption, this forgiveness, this light, it changes us. And I was reflecting, maybe some of you are resonating with this, that it's a little hard to do that. Maybe you're holding on to shame. Maybe you're holding on to some darkness in your life. And maybe you're kind of almost avoiding Jesus in some way. Avoiding Jesus, his light, his love. Maybe you even question what that even means for you. So I invite us today to take time, even just as I pray after this, take time to invite and accept the forgiveness and the redemption and the light of Jesus. Church, let's release our shame and let's live in this light that only Jesus gives, this freedom that he offers freely to us. This freedom and this redemptive life where we bear fruit, where we know God more and more, where we have endurance and patience for others, and where we are so, so thankful for all that God has done for us. So let's pray. Jesus, we worship you, and we are in awe that you have brought us into a place of light, that you have redeemed us, that you have purchased our freedom, and that we can live in your kingdom of glorious light. And Jesus, today, we accept your forgiveness. We accept your redemption. And we step into your kingdom of light, praying, Jesus, that you would transform us, that you would transform our church, that we would live a life pleasing to you, and that we would just be so in love with you, more and more growing closer to you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been with us before, you know, something we like to do is to have kind of like breakout rooms. So basically what that means is you can just find a group of people around you and we'll just have some questions. questions, some response questions. And you can just discuss these questions with those around you for probably the next about 10 minutes. So feel free to find your neighbors and, yeah, just discuss these questions amongst one another.
Holy, you are living.
a benediction to our service here today, I want to read over you from Ephesians chapter 3. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. It was such a joy to worship God with you all here today, and we'll see you next week.